Yet tonight, and try to challenge you again tonight as we did this morning. And again, there's so much you can learn out of the book of Exodus. Brother Brent did a great job Wednesday night preaching out of the book of Exodus. I do believe it is a book that every child of God, especially a new child of God, ought to read. It is a book of separation, in that God was bringing his people out of Egypt, and God wanted to separate them from the world, and God always wants to do that in our life. But if you know anything about Exodus chapter number 4, it's when God kind of begins to call Moses and put the call on Moses' life to be the man that would go down into Egypt and have to have the battle with Pharaoh to try to get the people going. In chapter 4, we find Moses, again, he begins to kind of answer back to God. And the Bible says that Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they shall say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom." And put his hand in his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. In other words, God saying, Moses, if they don't believe you, here's what you can do. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." In other words, Moses is trying to give all the excuses he can of why he should not be the man. And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou should say." And he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You could say that God was probably getting a little fed up with him. He's getting tired of all the excuses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And you shall be the spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even as he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do sign. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer tonight. Dear God, again, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God. And again, as we've already stated, and some have already testified, dear God, we thank you for the year you've already given us, dear God. And we pray, as we get ready again to go into a new year, dear God, you know what each and every day will hold. You know what the future holds, dear God. We know that you hold all of our tomorrows, dear God. We just pray that we'll trust you day by day, dear God. We'll lean upon you, dear God. We'll let you lead, let you guide, let you direct, dear God. And we pray again for all the events we got coming up in the month of January, the fellowship, the revival, dear God, the ladies' conference, dear God. We know Miss Cassie's put a lot of hard work into that, and I just pray that, God, you'd just pack this auditorium out. I pray you'd pack out the revival. I pray you'd be with the preachers that'll be here, the singers, and we just pray, God, you'd give us a great week in the house of God, dear God, and we just pray again as we leave this year and go into another year. I pray you'll challenge our hearts, and dear God, that the new year might be brighter, the new year might bring bigger and better things for all of us, dear God. I just pray again, you'd have your will, have your way, I pray you'll hide us behind the cross tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, if you take time to study out the book of Exodus, again in chapter number 4, God had already kind of been speaking to Moses, and God had chosen Moses just like he did in the book of Joshua when God chose Joshua, and God wanted Moses to be the man that would go down into Egypt and try to get the people free and try to see Pharaoh and try to get them loosened. And again, I'm not going to go into all the detail. You can go home and read it, and you know all the different things that transpires with that. But in chapter number 4, you find what I would call the calling of the man, as God kind of begins to put the call on Moses' life that he is going to be the man that would go down into Egypt and be the man that would deliver the people. And boy, immediately Moses begins to, you could say, begins to crawfish, begins to backpedal, and begins to just come up with every kind of excuse that he can. You know, we were kind of talking about that back there with the men, and you know, many times we poke fun of that, and you hear me preach about it all the times, and usually many times, as many of the old men of God will say, one of the ways that you know God is calling you in the ministry or whatever it might be is that many times when God does call a man, or God does work in a man's life, or maybe even a woman's life, that many times we immediately begin to say, well, you know, God, I can't do this, or God, I can't do that, and God, I'm not very good at speaking, God, I'm not very good at teaching, God, I'm not very good at this. And many times, you know, we'll begin to come up with all the excuses in the world of why we can't do this, or why that we're not equipped to do that. I kind of mentioned that a little bit this morning. You know, some people will say, well, you don't know my past, you don't know what I've done, and boy, they know that God is trying to call them, or maybe it's a call to preach or a call to teach Sunday school or whatever it might be. And many times, instead of answering the call of God, we immediately begin to say, well, God, you know, I can't do this, and God, I can't do that. And that's exactly where Moses is at. God has begun to move on him, and God has begun to call him. And if I had to title the message tonight, it's simply this: a man that God can use for his glory. Because the reality of it is God is looking on Moses as a man that God is desiring to use. And we know that Moses is human just like you and I. We know that because if you know your Bible again, Moses is not even going to see the promised land after he accepts the will of God. Eventually he gets mad in the wilderness and smokes the rock. And because of that disobedience, God is not going to allow him to go into the promised land. And that's where Joshua picks up in the Word of God. And so when you look at the life of Moses, you can kind of relate to the life of Moses, and that all of us are prone to get angry at times. All of us are prone to come up with all the excuses in the world, and that's exactly what Moses is doing. And I'd say, number one, we see the uncertainty of Moses again there in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." In other words, God, Moses is uncertain in his own self, and he says, "God, I can't do this. God, I can't go down there and talk to Pharaoh. I can't lead the people of God out. God, what if they don't believe me? God, what if I get down there?" You know, sometimes as men of God, you kind of have that feeling when you first surrender to the call to preach. You think to yourself, who in the world is going to want to hear me? Who in the world is going to believe what I have to say? And that is exactly where he's at. You see the uncertainty in Moses' life, and that he's not trusting God. He's not putting his faith and trust in God, but he's looking on his own heart and on his own mind, and he's allowing the doubt to fill his life. And he's saying, "God, I don't even know if they'll believe me." And then he goes on to verse number 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue." Some Bible commentaries say they believe that Moses might have had a speech impediment, and he may not have been able to talk very well. But Moses said, "Look, God, I don't even know if they'll believe me. And not only on top of that, I'm not very eloquent." You know what Moses was saying right there? I'm not very much to look on. I'm not the eloquent guy. I'm not the one that has all the knowledge. I'm not going to be able to go down there and talk to Pharaoh and your people. And you know, I'm not eloquent, God. I don't know what to say. And not only that, I'm slow of speech. I'm not very good at talking. I'm not very good at saying what I need to say. And all of that that leads to the uncertainty in Moses' life. And you see Moses begin to fight the will of God for his life. And boy, in pastoring, I've seen that so many times where people fight the will of God, where they know beyond a shadow of doubt that here's what God is calling me to. And I know that God is calling me to do this, especially for young men. I went through it when God called me into the ministry, and when I knew God was calling me to preach, I can tell you, my mind immediately filled up with uncertainty. I began to say, well, you know, God, I haven't been to Bible college. God, I don't spell very well. God, I don't write very well. And God, I've never liked talking to anybody, and I don't even like getting up and speaking in front of anybody. And immediately I begin to think, just like Moses, I begin to think, God, they're not going to listen to me. God, here I am, this uneducated guy that has no Bible college under my belt. I've never been to seminary. I don't know all the big words. I can't even pronounce half the words in the Bible, amen. And so, God, how is anybody going to listen to me? And that's where Moses is at. I'm reminded of two of my favorite verses. I think I used them this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But instead, Moses is not doing that. Hebrews 11 verse 6, we all know the verse. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What Moses should have done is Moses should have just said, you know what? God, I don't understand it. God, I'm not very eloquent. I don't even know if they're going to believe me. God, I can't even speak very well. But God, if this is your will, God, then I'll just get up and I'll go. But Moses is not doing that. Moses is giving every excuse he can. One writer said it this way: the man filled with uncertainty is the man that will always sit on the sideline, for he never believes God can use him. Boy, how true that is. I believe sometimes that our churches are filled up with people just like that. They get saved, and that's exactly what they do. They get in a pew, and 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, they're still in the same pew. They're still in the same spot. They're in the same church that they were in the day that they got saved. And you try to talk to them a little bit, and it don't take you long to realize that here's a man or a woman that they've allowed doubt to get in their life, they've allowed uncertainty to get in their life, and they have convinced themselves, you know, God, Brother Joy, God just can't use me. You know, Brother Joy, I'd love to do this and I'd love to do that. But you know, Brother Joy, I just don't believe God can use me. I just don't, you know, they give you a long line of excuses, and that's where Moses is at right here. He's saying, God, I'm not eloquent. God, I can't speak very well. God, again, what does he say in verse 1? His immediate response, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say the Lord had not appeared unto them. He said, God, when I get down there and I tell them you sent me, he said, God, they're going to laugh at me. They're not going to believe me. I mean, I'm going to show up down here, and here's what Moses was really thinking. I don't know if he would really utter it to God, but he kind of is saying this to God. Now, God, come on. If I go down there to Egypt, and if I go down there, and here I am, I'm not a very eloquent man, and I can't speak very well, and God, if I go down there, I'm going to look like a fool, and nobody is going to believe me, God. So why should I go down there, God? I don't want to look like a fool. Can I just say this right here? Again, that's why some people will never do anything for the glory of God, because they convince themselves, well, if I do take a Sunday school class, I'm going to look like a fool. If I do try to lead singing, I'm going to look like a fool. If I do answer the call of God to preach the Word of God, I'm going to look like a fool. There's no way that I can do that. And so, number one, we see the uncertainty. But can I say, second of all tonight, again, we've already kind of covered it, but again, in verse 1 all the way down to verse number 10, not only do we see the uncertainty, but we see the excuses of Moses. I mean, not only is he filled with uncertainty, but here's exactly what he is doing. He's giving God all the excuses that he can. Well, God, I'm not very eloquent. God, they're not going to believe me. God, I can't speak very well. And even after verse number 11, in verse number 12, even after God says, now therefore go, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou should say. Even after all that, and God says, look, just get, you know what God is saying? Moses, lay aside the excuses that you have. Just get up, go to Egypt, lead my people out of captivity, and when you get down there, am I not the one that created the mouth? I mean, is that not what he says in verse 11? And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or who seeing, or the seeing, or the blind, have not I the Lord? He said, Moses, am I not the one that made your mouth? Am I not the one that put the tongue inside of there? Moses, am I not the one that gave you a brain? Moses, am I not the one that gave you 2 feet to walk on? You know what God's saying right there? Hey, Moses, get rid of all your excuses, because I'm the one that made you. I'm the one that gave you a mouth. I'm the one that gave you the ability to speak. And even though you may not be able to speak very well, Moses, get up. Lay aside the excuses and get down there. And then you come to verse number, and then right after verse 12, what does Moses say? And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand of him whom thou wilt send. He's still trying to give an excuse. And then the beginning of verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You say, would God get angry with somebody? Well, apparently he would. You know what that verse is telling you and I? God had enough of the excuses of Moses. And God says, you know what God is really saying right here? God says, you know what, Moses, now I'm done trying to deal with you. Now you're making me angry. Because you know I've called you. You know I've dealt with you. You know I've given you the ability that you need, and even after I've told you that I'm the one that made your mouth, and I'll be with you and I'll go with you, you still want to try to back out of this. You still are trying to backpedal on me, and you still will not get up and go. And so God gets angry at him. I'm reminded of Luke 9, beginning in verse 59. I've shared these verses before. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what the Bible was saying right there, and what Jesus was even saying right there? That look, there comes a time when you got to get rid of all the excuses. There comes a time in all of our life where instead of giving all of our excuses to God, we got to kind of throw all of them in the trash and just say, God, I'm gonna trust in you with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean on my understanding. Because again, I will say this, but anytime you lean on your understanding, you're going to be filled with every excuse there is imaginable. Because your understanding, my understanding tonight, will tell you and I that this is not possible. There's no way this can happen. There's no way that God can use me. There's probably some men sitting in here tonight, or probably some of you young men, you've already convinced yourself, well, God cannot use me. God cannot touch me. God cannot anoint me. God cannot fill me. I can't lead singing. I can't do this. I can't do that. And your whole life, here's what your whole life has amounted to. You've got one excuse after another excuse after another excuse, and God eventually looks at your life, and here's what God says: hey, I'm done with the excuses. You know, it's like there is coming a day when it was even our world, you know, the Bible tells you and I that there is coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is exactly who He said He is. There's even going to come a day when God will be done with the excuses of the world, and God will say, yes, you're going to bow. And you will confess that I am exactly who I said I am. God, it's just like when God deals with somebody. You know, we see people say all the time, your God is a mean God, and your God puts people in hell. No, my God is not a mean God. My God is a God of long-suffering. My God is a God of mercy. My God is a God that sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for your sins and to die for mine. And God has made every way, and God has made salvation so simple that even a child can put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But there does come a time where even God will quit dealing with somebody, and God will draw a line in the sand, and God will say, all right, die and go to hell. Right. You want to die and go to hell? You want to resist salvation? You want to turn your back on me? Then die and go to hell. There comes a time when God gets done with our excuse. That's where God is at with Moses. Moses is just giving one excuse after another. I will read these verses and move on. If you have time, you can go there. Luke chapter 14. beginning in verse 16, we all know the parable of the Great Supper. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. In other words, he said, go out there, tell them I've got a supper ready, the table is set, everything's ready to go. And so the servant goes out, and immediately they begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the lame and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. But again, when that servant went out, what was the first thing? They began to make excuses. And so finally he says, all right, well, quit fooling with them and go out in the highways and the hedges. Go out there and get the lame and the halt and the maimed, and just, you know, if them others over there don't want to come, go get them, bring them in. And that's the way God works. God says, hey, you want to be saved? I'll save you. You don't want to be saved? I'll move on down the road and find somebody that does want to be saved. Amen. I know that ain't popular preaching today, but again, you don't want to be saved. God is not going to force you. But Moses begins to every excuse there can. And one writer said it this way, there comes a time when all excuses must be laid aside and our crosses must be picked up and we must carry on. So we see the excuses of Moses. But then I love verse 12 down through verse number 18, which I've already read, so I'm not going to read them all. But we see the response of God. Again, in verse number 1, Moses says, all right, God, they're not going to hearken. They're not going to believe me. Verse number 10, he says, I'm not eloquent of speech, amen. I can't speak very well. I'm slow of speech and of slow tongue. And you want to see the mercy and grace of God on display? Now you'd agree with me that God would have had every right there to say, all right, Moses, I'm done. I'll find somebody else. You don't want to go. You're afraid they're not going to believe you. You're making all these excuses. And so therefore, you know what? You know what, Moses, here's what I'll do. I'll just move on and I'll find somebody else. But what does verse 14 say? Here's the mercy and grace of God on display. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. He said, look, is not Aaron your brother? I know Aaron can talk. I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth. And I will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be even as he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith thou shalt do sign. And Moses went and returned unto Jethro his father. You know what verse 18 is really telling you and I? Moses finally ran out of excuses. And you see the mercy and grace of God, and that God says, all right, here's what I'll do, Moses. Since you don't think they're going to believe you, and since you don't believe you can talk, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to get Aaron, and I know that Aaron can talk, and I know that Aaron can speak very well. So I'm going to make it easy on you. All you got to do is go down there and deal with Pharaoh and lead my people out, and you ain't even got to speak. You tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron will do the talking. I say it's pretty gracious of God. I'd say that'd be like God calling you to preach, Joe, and you just keep saying, God, I can't speak. God, I can't talk very well. And then finally God say, all right, Joe, I'll tell you what, you're still going to preach, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to use Colton. You tell Colton what to say, and then Colton will get up every Sunday and he'll do the preaching. But I'm going to use you to give him what he needs to say. You know what God was saying right there? You see the response of God. You know what the response of God is? No excuses, Moses.
Right.
No excuses. You don't think they'll believe you? That's not good enough. Moses, you don't think you're very eloquent? You don't think you're very good at speaking? You're of slow tongue? No excuse. Because I got Aaron right here, and Aaron can do all the talking. So you get up, Moses, and you go tell Jethro. And again, look at verse 19. You'll see the mercy and grace of God again. If you know anything about your Bible, one reason why Moses fled Egypt, if you know your Bible, Moses had went out and killed a man, and that's why Moses fled. And so all them people, no doubt in the back of Moses' mind, you know what he's probably thinking? Them people probably still remember what I did. But look at the mercy and grace of God. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. You see what he's saying right there, Brother Steele? He said, even the men that sought to kill you, Moses, I've already killed them, got them out of the way.
Right.
You know what God's saying right there? I got Aaron, he'll go with you. And if you're afraid of them men still being down there that want to take your life, I've already got rid of them too. God's response to Moses was this: hey, buddy, you're not getting out of this. That's what his response is. You think you got all these excuses, Moses? You think nobody's going to believe you? You think you can't speak very well? You think them men probably still want to kill you? Yeah, I mean, you've got every excuse you can. Guess what? Kind of like God just kind of shoved him in a corner and said, guess what, buddy? You're not going to get out of this.
Right.
You know, the Bible does say the callings of God are without what? Without repentance. God calls a man, that call's there. You say, Brother Joey, I'm here and I know God called me at one time, but I messed up, so I think the call is gone. No, hold on a minute. If God calls you, God calls you. I understand sometimes we mess up, and I understand there are consequences, just like with David. I understand that. But God still used David.
Amen.
The call was still on David's life.
Right.
People say all the time, well, you know, the reason why God didn't allow David to build the temple is because David committed murder and adultery. No, the Bible tells you and I that God didn't allow him to do that because he was a man of war and he had shed a lot of blood.
Right.
But God still used him to gather all the material to build the house of God, and he gave the largest offering ever recorded in the Word of God, and God still used him. So the response of God to Moses is that, look, you don't have any excuse. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In other words, God will always be with us. And God's response to Moses is that, look, I've given you Aaron, I've removed all the men out of the way, and so guess what? It's time to get up and go. I need my people to be led out of captivity. I need somebody to deal with Pharaoh. I've given you Aaron to help you, which brings me to the last point of the message tonight. Not only do we see the uncertainty and the excuses and the response of God, but again, in verse 14 down to verse number 18, we also see the supply of God. If God calls you to do something, God will always supply. God calls Moses, and Moses has all the excuses in the world. But right in the middle of that, what does God do? He supplies Aaron. He said, Moses, I've got the supply.
Right.
Moses, I just need you to trust me. And if you'll trust me, I've got Aaron, and Aaron will supply the need. So you just, you know what I found out serving God? God will always supply the need. We don't always understand why God does what He does. We don't understand many times how God works in ministry. But I can tell you this, when God calls you to something and God puts a call on your life, God will always supply the need. God will always take care of any need we have. God will always supply every need we have. The problem is that we've got to learn to trust Him, and that's where we fail so many times. And God says, man, I've got Aaron. I have got the supply. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 6. I love Matthew chapter number 6 in verse 25 because Jesus kind of, again, takes away all excuses. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat or what shall ye drink, nor yet of your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, are the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not better than they? You know what Jesus is saying right there? Are you not better than a bird?
Right.
He said, if I supply what the bird needs every day, he said, are you not better than a bird? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, if God's going to close the flowers, and if God takes care of the bird, you know what he's saying right there? Are you not better than a flower and a bird? He's saying, man, if God will take care of the flower and the bird, he said, man, aren't you better than that?
Right.
He goes on, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what he says? Quit worrying about tomorrow and just worry about today. You know why some people never do anything for the glory of God? They're too worried about tomorrow. Well, God, if I surrender to preach, how are you going to take care of my family? Well, God, if I surrender to go to the mission field, how are you going to provide for my family? God, if I surrender to do this, you know, it's kind of like when God calls a man into evangelism. That's basically you stepping out on faith that churches are going to call you and you're going to stay booked all year and you're going to live off of love offerings, and them love offerings are going to supply your need. That's called stepping out in faith. That's called, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, I'll just worry about today. And if I worry about today, tomorrow will take care of itself. You know what God's telling Moses? Put away all your excuses. I've supplied you with Aaron. So get up. Get down there. Lead my people out of captivity. I'll take care of Pharaoh. I'll take... And what did God do when he get to the Red Sea? God took care of Pharaoh. God always will take care of whatever needs to be taken care of.
Right.
Our job is to just say, God, what did Isaiah say? Here am I. Send me. What could God do in the coming year with all of us if we all said, God, here am I, send me. God, whatever you want to do in my life, send me. God, I'm ready. God, I don't have any excuses. God, I'm not going to cry. God, here am I. And whatever it is, God, I'm ready. Because if not, then here's what you're going to do. 10 years from now, you're going to be still in the same pew in the same spot.
Right.
And we're going to pass you by and think, well, there they are 10 years later. 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later. It's been 50 years and they're still there. And they've not done anything for God. Because so many times we do just like Moses, and we allow our heart and our mind to be filled with all these excuses. Well, God, I can't talk very well. That's okay. God will take care of it. God, I'll tell you one of the thoughts I had when I knew God was calling me to preach. God, I don't even know how to write an outline. God, you want me to get up and preach to people, and I don't even know how to write out an outline. How in the world am I going to get to preach to anybody when I can't even draw out an outline? But you know what I begin to realize as I begin to study? God began to lay it out for me.
Right.
And I'll give you a prime example. Jacob come. I had my notebook laying back here in the sound booth. And Jacob come and picked it up. And he was looking at it. He said, how in the world can you even read that? I said, all I can tell you is I can read it. It probably looks like chicken scratch, but all I can tell you is I can read it. My mom's here. She'll bear witness. I was not the guy making a honor roll every. Amen, Mama. That was not me. I was more the guy in the principal's office than making a honor roll. I was a guy, I'm not proud of it today, but and thank God neither one of my boys did it. Thank God Miranda didn't do it, and if Bethany does it, I'll hang her in a tree. But my mama tell you, I was a guy that walked in the principal's office in ninth grade and looked the principal in the eyes and said, look, I and here were my exact words, I believe I know more than you and these teachers, and I'm ready to go work and make money, so I'm out of here. I walked out and got in my car and drove out of the parking lot and never went back to school. And went and got a full-time job and been working ever since. I look back now, I'll tell you now, young people, I look back now and I think that was a very stupid decision. I should at least stayed and got the diploma. Amen. I should at least got that. I may not have learned very much, but I should have at least got that. Amen. But that's the guy I was. And that's why whenever I knew God was beginning to call me, I just began to thank God. I haven't been to seminary. God, I didn't graduate. God, my writing's not good. God, I can be like Moses. God, I'm not very eloquent of speech. I mean, there's still words I read in the Bible, and I'm like, well, I can't pronounce that, so let's skip that verse. You know, you ever read the Old Testament, you get in them chapters where it's name after name. I'm like, well, let's just skip all that chapter, amen, because I can't even pronounce the names. But you know what I have found through the years? God will always help you. If you'll just surrender to whatever it is God's wanting to do, God, and Moses, again, if you'll go on and read the book of Exodus, he gets down there, and God uses him to lead the people out. Because God just finally cornered him up and God says, you know what, Moses? I tell you what, there are no more excuses. You've got, in a way, you could say again, you see the mercy and grace of God. He said, I'll give you Aaron. I'll give you the rod. I'll give you, again, you go read one down to verse number 9. I've given you the rod. I've given you some signs. Basically, Moses, you know what I've done? I'll give you everything you need. So now it's time for you to lay down your excuses, and it's time for you to get up, and it's time for you to go get my people. You know a disturbing trend that I see, and I believe we're nearing the end. I believe the rapture could take place at any moment. But I'll tell you the disturbing trend that I see, and many churches are dealing with this today. Brother Dunn's church is a prime example. There aren't many men surrendering to preach. If God tarries in another 10 years, we will be in trouble in our churches.
Right.
Talking to Brother Farley and other men of God, and they'll just tell you, there are just not a lot of young men. You go back several years ago, and young men were surrendering. I mean, just boom, boom, boom. Not so much anymore. And I think that some of the reason is they've allowed society to convince them,
right.
Well, you know, we can't do this.
Right.
Let me say something to you three young men. I don't know what God will do with you, and you may never get called into the ministry, but I'll tell you this. If God ever calls you, just answer the call.
Amen.
If you'll just answer the call, God will take care of the rest.
That's right.
God will take care of it. You just got to trust Him. As Brother Mark comes, as you know, the altars are always open. Amen. We don't ever